Good afternoon and welcome to the TD Bank Group 2011 First Quarter Investor Presentation. My name is Mushtaq Nadjirali, and I'm Vice President of Investor Relations at the bank. We'll begin today's presentation with strategic remarks by Ed Clark, the bank's CEO, followed by Colleen Johnston, the bank's CFO, who will provide an overview of operating results. Marc Chauvin, Chief Risk Officer, will then offer comments on credit quality, after which we'll entertain questions from those in the room today and also from pre-qualified analysts and investors over the phone. Also with us today to answer your questions are Bharat Masrani, Group Head, U.S. P&C Banking; Bob Dorrance, Group Head, Wholesale Banking; Mike Pedersen, Group Head, Wealth Management, Direct Channels, and Corporate Shared Services; and Tim Hockey, Group Head, Canadian Banking and Insurance. Please turn to slide two. At this time, I'd like to caution our listeners that this presentation contains forward-looking statements, and there are risks that actual results could differ materially from what is discussed. Any forward-looking statements contained in this presentation represent the views of management and are presented for the purpose of assisting the bank's shareholders and analysts in understanding the bank's financial position, objectives and priorities, and anticipated financial performance, and may not be appropriate for other purposes. Certain material factors or assumptions were applied in making these forward-looking statements. For additional information on these factors and assumptions, please see our Q1 2011 MD&A and our 2010 annual report, which can be found on our website at td.com. With that, let me turn the presentation over to Ed. Ed?
Thanks, Mushtaq, and thank you everyone for joining us this afternoon. Now, Colleen's going to be up shortly to discuss our first quarter results, but let me start by giving a few thoughts on the quarter and then what we're expecting for the balance of the year. Now, obviously, this quarter was an excellent start to the year for TD Bank. Total adjusted earnings hit a record of almost $1.6 billion in the quarter, and earnings in both our Canadian and our U.S. personal and commercial businesses also hit new highs. Our wealth management business continued its positive earnings momentum, and our wholesale team delivered another strong quarter. Total adjusted retail earnings hit a record $1.4 billion, up 30% year-over-year. Now, that's amazing, given that just this time last year, we were earning just over $1 billion in adjusted earnings. We also announced a $0.05 dividend increase for our common shareholders, highlighting the confidence the board has in our future success. Fundamentally, this was a great quarter, with earnings a bit ahead of our run rate. We are very well positioned for the year. Our capital position remains strong, with our Tier 1 capital ratio at 12.7%. We generated close to $1 billion in organic capital growth in this quarter alone. I'm going to give you some more commentary on capital in a few minutes. Let me just make a few comments on each segment. It was another record quarter for TD Canada Trust, with earnings up 26% year-over-year, crossing the $900 million mark for the first time. We do expect year-over-year percentage increases to slow in future quarters as the lift from reduced loan losses dissipates and real estate lending starts to slow. However, adjusted for the number of days in the quarter, we would still anticipate earnings in this range for the rest of the year. These wonderful results are underpinned by our commitment to remain the leader in service and convenience. You'll have noticed that more than 300 of our branches across Canada are now open on Sundays. TD Bank, America's most convenient bank, turned in a record quarter with adjusted earnings up 54% year-over-year. We remain pleased with how our performance in the United States is tracking, despite the regulatory headwinds. Our new run rate of earnings is in the $300 million per quarter range. Credit conditions are developing as anticipated, with our loan quality gradually improving. Our mortgage security portfolio is showing modest signs of strain, but we are very well provisioned. Our organic growth strategy continues to deliver market share gains, while our acquisitions are performing well, with integration efforts going as planned. We expect the same with Chrysler Financial, That deal is on track to close in the second quarter, and we're very excited to add the Chrysler Financial Auto Lending Platform to the TD family. Wealth management earnings rose 32% year over year, excluding the contribution from TD Ameritrade. Growing confidence in the equity markets helped deliver higher client assets and strong trading volume, while margins expanded. TD Ameritrade continues to do a great job at asset gathering and recently crossed the $400 billion mark in client assets, an impressive milestone. This was also another strong quarter with solid returns for the wholesale bank and consistent with our expected earnings run rate of $175 to $225 million per quarter. This business performed well despite moderated markets compared to last year and continues to execute well on its client-driven franchise strategy. In terms of outlook, we're expecting a very good year in 2011, thanks to the power of our retail-focused growth engine. The dividend increase we announced today speaks to that. At the same time, I don't think it would be fair to say that all negativity is lifted from the macroeconomic picture and that the world is back to normal. There are key global issues that have yet to be resolved. The European debt crisis remains a real concern. Inflation in emerging economies is becoming a more important issue. And clearly, the United States economy continues to recover slowly. While there have been some positive economic signs in the U.S. recently, the reality is that the fiscal situation remains unclear, municipal and state budgets are under strain, and the U.S. housing market has not noticeably improved. The recent unrest across North Africa and the Middle East has also added another level of uncertainty into the global markets. At the same time, on the ground, we're continuing to see positive signs from our personal and business customers. They're continuing to get more comfortable spending and borrowing, and they tell us that conditions are improving. So it's a mix of high-level caution and ground-level optimism. And if that sounds familiar to you, it's what we told you last quarter. It's because our view hasn't really fundamentally changed. We think the economy is recovering against a backdrop of fragile confidence. And while that's a challenging environment, our model has clearly shown an ability to deliver in that challenging environment. We're in a good position to continue to invest across our franchise to bolster our position for the future. So let me talk about capital and dividends. On the capital front, we are providing some additional disclosure that Colleen will speak to, but our key messages have not changed. We're confident that we'll meet the new cap requirements on an accelerated basis without issuing common equity. We can do this because we have a great set of businesses with very strong capability to generate organic capital. But what this does mean, however, is that we don't expect to have a lot of excess capital. Consequently, if we were to do an acquisition of significant size, we would likely have to issue shares to fund the transaction. I think it's important to emphasize several things about the new capital rules. These new rules represent a significant increase in the amount of operating capital. In fact, we'll need to hold approximately 70% more operating capital under Basel III to conduct the same businesses we were previously doing. While capital levels are significantly increasing, the effect on return on equity at the overall bank level will be less dramatic than one might assume. There are several reasons for this. First, our ROE at the total bank level reflects both operating capital and goodwill and intangibles on our books. Second, we're already holding much of the additional operating capital that we need to hold. We hold that today. And third, our earnings growth and the low risk-weighted nature of this growth helps us manage rising capital needs without impacting on the ROE. So what does all this mean for dividends? Well, our approach hasn't changed. Our confidence in delivering sustainable earnings growth will drive our approach to dividends. And as we get into the latter half of the year, the board will review the timing and size of future increases. So with that, let me wrap up. We're off to an excellent start in 2011 with record quarters for our U.S. and our Canadian personal and commercial banking operations and strong performances from wholesale and wealth. We think we've got the right ingredients for another very good year, even though regulatory and economic uncertainty has not dissipated. Last quarter, I mentioned that for 2011, we'll be able to at least meet our medium-term target for adjusted EPS growth of 7 to 10%. Based on our current outlook, I remain very confident we can do so. Now, let me turn the meeting over to Colleen.
Thanks very much, Ed, and good afternoon, everyone. Let me take you through the results. Slide 4. Our total bank adjusted net income for the quarter was $1,588,000,000, a record high, up 26% from last quarter and 11% compared to last year. Adjusted diluted earnings per share for the quarter were $1.74, also a new record, up 26% over last quarter and 9% over last year. The key highlight this quarter was the record-breaking retail performances from both sides of the border, delivering a combined $1.4 billion in adjusted earnings, up 30% from last year and representing 86% of total bank earnings. All retail businesses posted double-digit earnings growth. Credit continues to improve from cyclically high loan loss levels driven by a more stable economic environment and improving unemployment. Our wholesale bank delivered another strong quarter, adjusted net income of $237 million, up 10% from last quarter, but down 36% from last year. The corporate segment loss of $68 million in the quarter declined by $95 million compared to last quarter, but increased by $35 million compared to last year. As you can see, our capital position strengthened in the quarter. Tier 1 capital ratio of 12.7% was up 50 basis points from last quarter and 120 basis points from last year. Our ability to add 50 basis points to our capital ratio in a single quarter underlines TD's organic capital generation capability. Please turn to slide 5. TD's reported net income was $1,541 million, or $1.69 per share. Adjusted net income was $1,588 million, or $1.74 per share. The difference between reported and adjusted results was due to four items of note, all of which you've seen before. Before I move on to segment results, I would like to mention that we also had two types of transfers between business segments this quarter. They're related to charges from the corporate segment to the businesses and the movement of U.S. credit cards from Canadian Personal and Commercial Bank to the U.S. Personal and Commercial Banking segment. So when I reference segment transfers in the presentation, I'm referring to the combined impact of these two changes. Slide 16 in the appendix contains more details. Moving on to TD Canada Trust, as Ed mentioned, Canadian P&C had a record quarter, record net income, record efficiency, and record customer satisfaction. Net income was $905 million, up 26% from last year and up 17% from last quarter. Revenue was up 5% versus last year with good operating leverage. Excluding the impact of segment transfers, revenue was up 7% over last year and 2% sequentially. The year-over-year increase was primarily due to strong volume growth in personal and business deposits, real estate secured lending, indirect lending, and insurance. Real estate secured lending volume moderated as expected due to borrower deleveraging and competitive pressures, but still remained impressive at a 9% growth year over year. The continued strength in business banking was also a key driver of growth in the quarter, with business banking volumes up 8% year over year as the economy recovered, compared with 4% growth last year. Growth in personal and business deposits remained strong on a year over year basis at 5% and 11% respectively. Compared to last year, the margin was down 11 basis points, but 8 basis points of that decline was due to segment transfers. Insurance also had a record quarter, making a strong contribution to earnings. Results were driven largely by higher volume and premium growth and better claims experience in our general insurance business. We continue to expect positive momentum in this business going forward. Provision for credit losses, excluding segment transfers, was down 27% from last year, reflecting better credit conditions driven by an improving economic and employment environment. PCL was relatively stable quarter over quarter, declining by 4%. Also, business banking loan losses remained at very low levels. Expenses, excluding segment transfers, were down 8% sequentially, as expected, since expenses last quarter were higher than usual due to higher business investment and project-related costs. Expenses excluding segment transfers were up 2% from the prior year due to higher employee compensation and project-related costs. We expect the rate of earnings growth will moderate on a year-over-year basis starting in Q2, with reduced benefit from improvement in PCL, slowing volume growth, and continued margin pressure in personal banking. However, the outlook for the rest of the year remains very positive, and we expect strong performance in insurance and business banking. I also wanted to remind you that the second quarter has a fewer number of days. You know this. But we expect that it will have an earnings impact of roughly 10 cents per share sequentially at a total bank level. The majority of this impact is in TD Canada Trust. Overall, it was just a great quarter for TDCT. Moving on to slide 7, wealth management, which excludes Ameritrade, had net income of $133 million, up 32% from last year and up 13% sequentially. This marks the 8th consecutive quarter of higher earnings and the best quarter since Q2 of 2007. Revenue increased 16% from the prior year due largely to fee-based revenue from record client assets, higher net interest margin, and higher transaction revenue. Expenses increased 12% from last year, primarily due to higher variable compensation and trailers related to business growth and a non-recurring project expense. TD Ameritrade contributed $48 million to TD this quarter, up 12% from last year and up 45% from last quarter. On the whole, this was another strong performance from Global Wealth. Please turn to slide 8. Our U.S. personal and commercial banking business had record adjusted net income of US$332 million for the quarter, up 54% from last year and up 21% sequentially. It was a somewhat noisy quarter, and I'll take you through the details, but the fundamentals were very strong in the quarter. So let's start there. On a core basis, excluding acquisitions, segment transfers, and a favorable impact from our non-agency CMO portfolio, which I'll speak to in a moment, core revenue showed good growth at 7%, despite the impact of Reg E, driven by strong organic volume growth in loans and deposits. On a year-over-year basis, the segment delivered positive operating leverage in spite of the impact of Reg E on overdraft fee revenue. We continue to see strong organic growth. Loan growth was up 9% year-over-year, primarily in residential mortgages and commercial loans. Deposits, excluding the TD Ameritrade insured deposit accounts, grew 7% year-over-year, driven by maturing stores. Volume growth continues to compare very favorably to our peers in the U.S. For our core lending portfolio, PCL, excluding acquisitions, segment transfers, and the impact of the CMO portfolio, was down $66 million, or 36% compared to last year, and down 10% sequentially as the U.S. economy continued to recover. Earnings this quarter also included the impact of a favorable tax item equaling $24 million. A couple of numbers this quarter related to debt securities classified as loans do bear mentioning. The higher PCL and the higher gross impaired loans. For our debt securities classified as loans, PCL was US$66 million, up from previous low levels, and gross impaired loans in this portfolio also increased by $649 million. Accounting for acquired portfolios can create swings between net interest income and PCL, with good news flowing to NII and bad news flowing to PCL. We saw this happen this quarter as higher foreclosure levels drove more NII and more PCL. The resulting net positive impact to earnings was $11 million after tax. We've outlined this on slide 21 in the appendix, including the impact this quarter. We will be transparent about the impact of the accounting and will provide similar disclosures going forward as appropriate and where the numbers are meaningful. Mark will address the credit quality of this portfolio in a moment, but the trigger for reporting impairment on these securities does tend to overstate the true risk in the underlying portfolio. We've explained the methodology on slide 21 in the appendix. Core expense growth was well controlled and largely related to acquisitions, new stores, and infrastructure investments. Expenses excluding the impact of acquisitions and segment transfers were up 6% compared to last year. On the acquisition front, Q1 included a full quarter of the South Financial Group and our Florida FDIC acquisitions. Volume and earnings and return performance were all better than expected. Overall, a terrific quarter for the U.S. Personal and Commercial Bank. Looking forward, we remain optimistic that good volume growth will continue for the remainder of the year. We expect a more sustainable run rate will be in the U.S. $300 million range per quarter on average. Moving on to the Wholesale Bank, slide 9. Wholesale delivered net income of $237 million, which was a strong performance for the period. Results were down 36%.